All right, morning, everybody. If you're expecting to see Doug up here this morning, I'm sorry. Doug is on vacation in the Northeast with his family, and I'm sure they're having a great time. Doug told me that they would be listening to this a little later, so I'm a little nervous about that. So if you don't know anything about me, I'm Noah. I've been the worship intern, as you just saw on the screen there, for the past 12 weeks. I've got one more week left. And this preaching thing isn't really in my comfort zone, to be honest. This is my first time ever doing it in front of anybody. So what I want to do is I just want to start with some prayer and just invite God to take over because I really need that right now. So will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for bringing everybody here this morning safely, in good health, I hope. And I pray that during this time that we're all together, that we would have open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say this morning. I'm going to say some things and use some examples, and I pray that through all of these things, that you would speak, that you would move, and that we could hear your voice calling to us, not just today, not just this week, but as we go. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. Quick question for you guys. How many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants? Quick show of hands. We've got a few. It's from the early to mid 2000s-ish. This is a movie that was in my home church's library at Orville Christian Church. And this is a movie that almost every Sunday, you can ask my mom, she's here, I would go to the library and I would check this movie out and I'd watch it. Maybe more than once in the week that we had it. But it's a movie that I grew up loving and watching a lot. And this week, because I'm going to use it to explain some things this morning, I probably watched it another 3 or 4 times this week. So hopefully this movie is really ingrained in my brain, but I'm going to kind of give you the gist of it if you haven't seen it so that you know what I'm talking about. So this movie is about a football coach. His name is Coach Taylor, and he's at a high school called Shiloh High School. It's set in Georgia, and as a football coach, his team is struggling, and he is struggling. He's been there for 6 years. The team's not winning a whole lot. And some of the parents are talking about getting rid of him. At the same time as all of this, his car is about to bite the dust. The dryer at his house works half the time. His stove is broken, and him and his wife are battling infertility. But what does he do in this situation? This scene, he grabs his Bible, he goes outside, and he prays. He acknowledges that God is all-powerful and full control. He declares his trust in God, and he asks for God's help and puts all his burdens at the feet of Jesus. And you know, after this scene, we see him go back to football practice, and he asks the team, what's our team philosophy? And they say, well, win football games. He's like, is that it? I said, yeah, kind of. He said, well, that's not good enough. I'm going to take a look at some more points in this movie throughout our time today, but that hopefully kind of sets the scene for what we're going for. Today, I'm starting off this new series called The Power of Yes. And it's really scary that Doug put this opener in my hands, especially for all of you. But I'm really excited. This is a series that we're going to take a look at what it means and how impactful it can be to say yes. Today, specifically, we're going to be looking at some steps toward saying yes to God's voice. Now, there's plenty of people throughout the Bible that you may be able to think of that said yes to God's voice. People like Noah, Abraham, Moses, even though he didn't originally, Elijah, David, and the one that we're going to read from today, Samuel. So we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. But before we read that, and as you guys are flipping there in your Bibles, hopefully, I'm going to kind of give you the context. The context comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And this is a long section. This takes a while to read. So you're going to get a little bit of the Noah version this morning. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see a woman named Hannah who is unable to have children, weeping at Shiloh, which is the temple. And Eli, the high priest there, finds her there weeping. She hasn't eaten anything, and she's just there mouthing words, but no sound is coming out of her mouth. I can imagine that Eli was pretty confused because he thought she was drunk. So he tells her, "Put your wine away and stop being drunk." And she just looks at him and says, I'm not drunk. I'm just troubled in spirit because I'm anxious and confused because she can't have children. So Eli responds and he says, "Okay, cool, go in peace and may God grant your request." So she goes home, she's not sad anymore, and poof, what do you know? Two verses later, she has a son, names him Samuel because she had asked for him from the Lord. This son that she had was a blessing to her and to her family. And so she sends her son Samuel to study in the temple under Eli. And that's where we're going to drop in here, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It'll be on the screen here. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" So today, we're going to take a look at three steps towards saying yes to God's voice. And as I was preparing for today, I tried to read this passage and see what's happening here through the lens of all three parties that are involved. So let's start with Samuel. Samuel, he's, you know, maybe going to sleep, maybe he's just up hanging out, you know, watching the lamp of God, it says. And he hears,
"Samuel."
So be pretty confused, but you know, there's only one other person in the temple. So he goes up and talks to Eli, and Eli says, "Well, it wasn't me. Go lie down again." So, okay, sure.
"Samuel."
It's like, what is going on? Goes back and finds Eli. It's not Eli. So Eli says, "Go lay down again."
"Samuel."
And now Samuel's got to be like, okay, this is a prank. This is not funny. Because he goes and talks to Eli, and Eli says, it's not me. But then Eli figures out, he's like, oh, this is the Lord. And so when Samuel goes and lies down again, and he hears,
"Samuel, Samuel."
He's like, okay, here we go. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Then we've got Eli. And I kind of feel bad for Eli in this story, because it feels like he's just trying to go to bed. There's no frequent vision of the Lord, it says. And at the time, his eyesight had grown so dim that he could not see. So he's just laying down, minding his own business. And Samuel comes running in. "Eli, you called me." He's like, what? No, I didn't. Just go lay down. And Samuel runs in again. Eli's like, oh, good 1 a.m. It wasn't me. And so Samuel comes back a third time. And Eli, being the high priest, being a little wiser than A, myself, B, Samuel, says, oh, this must be the Lord calling to you. So when you go back and this happens again, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Then you got God, who I also kind of feel for God in this situation because he's calling out to Samuel and Samuel's not getting the point. He calls once, Samuel gets up, and God's like, all right, we got him. Nope, he goes to Eli. He thinks it's Eli. He's like, okay, we'll try again. Samuel. Nope, no dice. Tries again. Samuel. I mean, in this situation, I'm going to pick on my fiance a little bit. She's not here yet. But she's deaf in one ear. So sometimes I have to repeat things more than once. And after one time, it can be like, okay, let's get the point here. And I can kind of imagine that's what God's looking at here, even though, you know, he's probably aware of what's going on. Not probably, he is. He's aware. And so he calls again, Samuel, Samuel, and he hears Samuel say, speak, for your servant hears. So we're going to go ahead and look at the first step towards saying yes to God's voice, and that is to yield to God's voice. And I know a lot of times when someone says the word yield, we might think of the road sign first. And that's okay. We're gonna run with that. I'm going to use God to describe this huge semi-truck that's coming down the right lane. It might scare you if you're merging. But we really just got to let God go first. Let him lead us. There's a couple of places in Scripture that encourage us to let the Lord lead and offer ourselves in order for him to use us. And so I'm going to kind of fly through maybe a couple scriptures after each step today. So just bear with me. I want to try and explain these with as much scripture as possible because anything that scripture says is going to be better than any of my ideas. So the first one I'm going to read is Psalm 37, verses 5 through 7. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. The next one is from Romans 12:1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. These two verses are encouraging us a lot to commit to the way of the Lord and trust him because he will act. Psalm 37 says he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. And Romans calls this an act of worship, which, of course, I'm all about. I love worship. But it's not enough to simply let God take the reins and follow him. We really need to listen and interact with God's voice, kind of like Samuel does. He responds. And in the Facing the Giants movie, you know, I explained Coach Taylor, very difficult point in his life. He simply says to God in this scene where he's praying, he says, show me something. He wants God to just show him the way he should go. And I can't blame him for that. There's a local pastor that actually comes to the school while Coach Taylor is working, and he tells a short story of two farmers. He says the two farmers asked God for rain, but only one went out and prepared his field for the rain. And so the pastor asked Coach, he said, which one do you think trusted God more? And Coach was like, well, obviously the one that prepared for the rain. And the pastor said, yeah. So prepare for the rain. The one that trusted God prepared for what he had asked for, and he's the one that received the blessing. And that's going to take us to our next step towards saying yes to God's voice, and that's to engage God's voice. And kind of by looking at this, you may be figuring out, you know, what that third step is, what letter that's going to start with. That's okay. You can still act surprised when we get there. So I'm not talking about, you know, getting down on one knee, engaging God's voice, getting down on one knee and saying, "Will you be my one true God?" That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is interacting and intertwining ourselves to God's voice and his will. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to read a few scriptures that I thought kind of paired with this well, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it. So Jeremiah 29:13 is the first one. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Psalm 27:8, "You've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, Lord, your face I do seek." Deuteronomy 4:29, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." And James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, all four of these, in their own way, are inviting us to seek God, to draw near to God. And those last two that I read, Deuteronomy 4:29 and James 4:8, say that if we're seeking the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. And then James pairs that with, if you find him, draw near to God, he will also draw near to you. And again, we see this kind of idea playing out in this movie, Facing the Giants. And this is why we found it in our church library, because it's a great example. There's a scene where there's a kicker on the team. He's practicing with one of the coaches, and he's missing every kick. You know, I'm sure you Bengals fans have seen a few missed kicks in your years. Let's be fair. As a Browns fan, I've probably seen more. I really encourage you to find this clip because it's a lot funnier than what I'm going to describe. But the coach that's with this kicker that's missing all over the place, he's like, "Well, what does Scripture say about this?" And the coach has invited the team to embark on this spiritual journey with him. And so the whole team has been taking part in this whole God thing as they're going. And it's getting really interesting. A couple of them have gotten baptized. There's been a revival on the field. So during practice, coach says, "Well, what does Scripture say about this?" And the player's like, "I don't know." And the coach says, "Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it." And this is from Matthew 7, by the way. He said, the coach says, "For us, kickers, that's wide left and wide right. But Jesus said that small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And for us, that's the ball going right down the middle." He says, "So you're going to have to choose a narrow way because that's the only way you're going to get your reward." And he says, I like this line. He says, "Now kick the ball through those pearly posts." Seeking God and drawing nearer to God is that narrow road that he's talking about. There's few people who walk this road, and that is the only path to true life in Christ. And that's what we're really running after here. And this is where we're going to hit that third and final step towards saying yes to God's voice, and that's to seek God's will. Now, just as I did with the two other steps, I'm going to read a couple scriptures. These will probably sound familiar to you, and that's fantastic. I'm going to start with Psalm 25, verse 5. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." Psalm 119:105-112. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked had laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. And the last one is, surprise, one that I already read earlier, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. The Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, God speaks in a lot of different ways. 1 Samuel is pretty obvious. You've got the voice of God calling Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. But, you know, and it's understandable, that doesn't happen as much these days, at least not that I've heard of. But God can speak in a variety of different ways. If you're like me, you probably hear it in a song, or in a TV show you're watching, or you'll be driving to work and you'll see a bumper sticker with a Bible verse on it. Something that catches your eye that it's just like, I feel like I don't usually see that. Something that's a little different. And I tend to subscribe to the theory that that's God trying to get our attention. Sometimes the Lord speaks softly. It reminds me of a song, you may know it. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. He is. He really is. Jesus is calling. He wants to have a relationship with you. It's just, will you say yes to it or not? Like Samuel, our response can be speak. Your servant is listening. It can be serving. Next week, we're going to have a ministry fair here at the end of service. It's going to be a bunch of different ministry teams here at Plum Creek. They're going to have a table set up, and you're going to have the opportunity to go sign up to volunteer or get more information on all of these teams. Now, this may not be your thing. I understand that. Not everybody is built for Kidstown. It's not me. I'm not. You may not be built for the worship team, Kidstown, coffee team, greeting. That's okay. I don't want you to feel discouraged by that, because we all have different strengths that are made to build up the body of Christ. All I hope for is that, like Samuel, you just seek God's will and say, I'm listening. I really do believe that we're here on this earth to serve and glorify the Lord. For people in vocational ministry, you know, that's the way that they serve the Lord primarily. For any of you, that could be a little different. Could be volunteering for a service project, leading a life group, or volunteering in one of those areas that I just mentioned. But no matter what it is, saying yes to God's voice takes all three of those steps that I mentioned. Yield to God's voice, engage God's voice, and seek God's will. As I wind down here, I just want to give you a little challenge for this week, and feel free to take it beyond this week. That's more than okay. This is one that I'm stealing from my dad, so this is not original by any means. Takes maybe 10 seconds maximum per day. I encourage you, since we read from 1 Samuel 3:10, to set an alarm for 3:10 p.m. or a.m. if you're awake at that time, which I don't know why you would be. And when that alarm goes off each day, simply take a deep breath and pray. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's it. That's all. All that's doing is just taking your life and handing it to God. Speak. Your servant is listening. And I hope that this week, as you pray that, that the Lord would reveal himself and his will to you. And that through that, we could all say yes to God's voice. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all of the people that are here in this room this morning. I pray that this week, as we seek to say yes to your voice, that you would speak and that you would make yourself and your will known to us. I pray that this week we would all listen for your voice and seek to follow that narrow path that leads to life. In Jesus' name.